Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This is Jamie Dean Big Newt, and we're glad to be with you today because the Buffalo Bills have punched their ticket to the 2 seed in the AFC. Lord knows I did not see that coming. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He is Big Chris Newton, and we're going to talk to you about how the Bills were able to pull this off and what's coming down the pike in their matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Newt, I know you got to be excited today, right?
Let's go! Let's go! I don't care. I know y'all I might blow the decibels out of y'all speakers, but I don't care. Y'all thought we was dead. I've been tweeting it every week. Y'all thought we was dead. And now look at us. We the 2 seed AFC East champs again for consecutive years. Then ran off how many games now? That was what? Five in a row. And 6 out of the last 7. We should have beat the Eagles, but that's okay. We're one of the hottest teams in the league. Man, let's go. Let's talk about it, man. I couldn't wait. I wanted to do it last night, man. I had a little Hennessy. Then I had to go back to work today. Didn't care. I slept maybe 2 hours because I was listening to the post game. Nate Geary and all them guys. I'm just excited, man. And so I'm texting everybody, all the Bills Mafia. I told law school out in San Diego I was going to get up here hollering, so I'm doing it for him, man. Loyal listener. I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy. So happy.
Man, I love it when you get excited. I love it when you get excited, man. And when you have rants of various proportions.
Love it, man. Love it. Bills Mafia, stand up. We packed out Hard Rock Stadium, man. Oh, I love it. I love when we go to People City and take over their trap, man. I love it. Let's go.
It was gorgeous. Now, there is a video going around right now on social media of somebody standing on the sideline when Deonte Hardy had his punt return touchdown. It sounds like a home crowd. You just hear that crowd come to life, and you can see the Bills fans jumping to their feet as it's happening. Yes. Oh, that is so beautiful. And with the amount of smack talk coming from the Miami fans... Well, two things. Number one, I am so glad that this is a rivalry again, because this is good. Having a rival is a good thing. Right. Secondly, I am so glad that within that rivalry, we get to shut them up.
Did you see the pregame with Dan Marino and Jim Kelly talking about the rivalry? Oh, that was awesome. That was great, wasn't it? Oh, man. If you didn't see it, if you came in and you didn't get to see it, or you saw it in a public place and you didn't get to hear it, go back and listen to it. Matter of fact, I'll find it. I'll do that for y'all, Bills Mafia, and our loyal listeners. I'll find it, and I'll go ahead and post it on Twitter. And if not, I'll screen record it because I recorded the game. But, man, it just brings chills. It just talks about the rivalry going back in the day, back and forth. I mean, and go ahead and get that COVID cough out.
You knew what I was doing, huh?
You know what I'm saying? It's just, and I wanted to talk about this today because, you know, Bill Belichick, this might be his last game. And it's like, I know everybody hates New England, but think about the movie Troy. You ever seen the movie Troy with Brad Pitt?
No.
Okay.
What's that about?
It's about Spartans and the Trojans going at it. It's the history of that, right? And so, the king of Sparta or the king of Troy told Brad Pitt, because he was Achilles. That's where he talked about Achilles. Anyway, you got to see it. It's awesome. And so he told him, he was like, you know, why did you come here when thinking I could, you know, I might kill you? And he was like, you know, enemies can have respect for each other. You still my enemy. I still hate you and want to kill you, but we can have respect for each other. Because Achilles killed his son, and he went to go get the body so he give him a proper burial. And so he was like, and so anyway, I thought you might have saw it, but I respect the hell out of Bill. But I know people who don't like New England and screw the pass and Tom Brady, blah, blah. I respect the hell out of them. and that maybe that's the ex-athlete in me. You can hate somebody and want to beat them and pull their hair and kick them and pull their Johnson and everything, but you can still show respect afterwards. Because
sure.
I'm a Bills fan, but I'm a football fan first, right? And I'm an yes. ex-football player. So I respect the history of this game. I love the history of this game and all it entails. Although I'm a Bills fan, I respect the hell out of Tom Brady, and I respect it. Even though I want to beat him, I want to beat him, and I hate it every minute that he dominated us, but I want to beat you, but I do respect you. And I mm-hmm. know what you're one of the best. He's like Vince Lombardi. He's one of the best coaches all time, and we got to witness it. It's just we were on the other end of a lot of those his wins, but you still saw greatness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like I'm a Wizards fan. I mean, I went to plenty Cleveland games, plenty Miami games up in D.C., and LeBron killed us in the playoffs regular season. I want to beat LeBron, right? But I still respect him. So, anyway, it was just good to see Jim Kelly and Dan Marino come together, talk about the history of the rivalry, because it's a rivalry. And the games like we saw yesterday, we're recording on Monday, and it's Black Monday. We're going to talk about that also. I'm kind of offended when people call that Black Monday. Why is it got to be Black Monday? Because coaches getting fired. That ain't cool. Oh. That ain't cool. I'm joking, y'all. But, yes, we're recording Black Monday. Ron Rivera has already been fired. He got fired last night at, like, 12:05. And it was
Arthur
else.
Smith was let go?
No, it was Arthur Smith from Atlanta. He's the one that got fired. I'm sorry. He got fired, like, right after midnight. And then Ron Rivera for the Washington Commanders got fired. And there's a couple of GMs that got released too. So their season's over, but we're still moving on. This guy's going to be turning in their equipment, but Buffalo Bills and one Bills drive, we're going to be getting ready for Sunday at 1:00.
And I love the Sunday at 1:00 start time.
Yes, indeed. Because if we would have got that Saturday 4:00 Peacock game, I don't know what I would have did. I would have been upset at the very least.
Yeah.
So that game will be
justifiably.
That game will be Kansas City, Miami, 4:00 on Peacock. Can't find it nowhere else. And when I say nowhere else, I mean nowhere, meaning you can't bootleg it. So you got to figure out how you're going to watch it. But we don't have to worry about that this week.
So when the Bills were 6-6 after 12 games.
Yep.
And the hit piece was done on Sean McDermott. The team was left for dead. People wanted to clean house, get rid of the head coach, get rid of the general manager.
Newt. Don't say not everybody, Newt. Not Newt.
Okay. I didn't either. I was the same one that said, it doesn't matter how this year turns out, you've got to give them a mulligan.
Yes.
Because they've been too successful up to this point.
I concur.
Right. So, the team, though, by many in Bills Mafia and by those in the media, left for dead. They rattle off 5 straight wins, which is unprecedented in today's NFL. How did we get here?
A lot of people,
how did they turn it around like this, man?
A lot of people are going to attribute to the change of the offensive coordinator. Maybe you need a new voice in the room. And we're going to talk about this also. We lost bodies last night. And like I said, McDermott, his end game decisions are questionable, right? His end game decisions are questionable. Like I've seen people online talking about last night. We went for they're calling it the tush push, but we wanted to think of something for Bills Mafia. I wanted to name it the Mafia Mush, but a lot of people wanted to call it the snowplow.
I like the snowplow.
The snowplow. A lot of people liked it, you know? So let's just refer to it as a snowplow. When we just Linnifer lined up behind Josh Allen and we just hut and go forward. He don't just go forward, though. He takes a step and go to the left every time. And it worked, but 4 out of 5 times last night, it didn't work the last time. And so people was questioning, like, okay, man, like, think of something else. you know me. We always say, if you only get a yard, go ahead, just snap the ball, fall forward. It's going to work 9 times out of 10. And it did last night, except for the last time.
Right.
He was upset the pass right before halftime. Excuse me. The pass before halftime. You got to get the ball into the end zone. He said it, too, in the interview.
Sean McDermott, that is. Sean McDermott seemed like he was pissed at Josh Allen for that half of football. Yep.
He was. And that's why I like when you put the mic in their face in those situations, because you get the real stuff. Most of the time you get interviews, you're getting fluff. You're not getting the real thing. But McDermott, you going to get the real thing. Yesterday, on a quick note also to piggyback off this, yesterday I came up there. I went to the Georgetown-UConn game yesterday, right, up in D.C. at the new Sports Entertainment Arena. I took Simone up there, all right? And so we were like two rows up, man. And I tell you, Gino Auriemma lets it go. And I don't know if it's because he's getting older now. He just don't care. But I love sitting close. Like, we were literally like two rows up. So he was like 10 feet in front of us, right? And you just heard everything. And I was like, look at Gino, right? And that's the stuff that you probably read his lips on TV, but we heard it all. He was letting it fly. F this. Every time we F it come down to D.C., we get this BS. And he was going crazy. And that was against Georgetown. They wound up winning by 35. And he still was acting crazy. And so I love it, right? So when you get to me at this point, when you get those intimate settings, meaning when you get those intimate inside, like, I want to know how you really feel. Right, wrong, or indifferent, because I'm going to tell you, I think McDermott is wrong the way he treats Cook. I think it's wrong. He dropped that pass. He dropped the pass, but then you take him out and put Fournette in. Like, he's a pro bowler. He might be all pro this year. Why are you treating him like that because he dropped a pass? You don't treat Josh Allen like that when he throw an interception. Hell, Josh Allen had 3 turnovers last night. You don't pull him. Stephon Diggs has dropped passes. Everybody has dropped passes. I just don't understand why you just dig down on the running backs. I don't understand that. I love McDermott and some of his decisions and stuff, but I think he's wrong when he does that. That's all. So anyway, long story short, when you said, well, what has turned around? I mean, people are going to say the offensive coordinator, right? A different voice in the room. In Josh Allen's ear, and most of the games he's came alive. He played some mediocre games, but most of the game he came alive. Last night he had almost 500 yards offense, right? And if you're going to give me five, this is what I always wish for, because I keep telling you, Brett Favre used to turn that mug over, but he got a Super Bowl. If we could play good defense, if you give me 500 yards offense and 2-3 touchdowns, I'll take 2 turnovers. Because the second interception was really a punt. It was on fourth down. We took a heave in the end zone, whatever, whatnot. He should have dropped the interception, and they would have got the ball further up. That was dumb on their part. Give me 500 yards. Give me 100-something QB rate, and I'll take it.
So what turned around during the season? Is it the offensive coordinator, or did something else happen?
Are you asking me or?
Yeah.
Because you just asked me that. That's why I'm.
I did ask you that, but you went through so many different topics.
I'm not even sure what we're talking about anymore. I got you lost because I'm long winded. Okay, I'll be quiet. Like I said, I think it's the old coordinator. What do you think?
I'm not exactly sure. I think that we saw the team come together. I think that was one thing. Even though the players may not love Sean McDermott, I think it may be the kind of thing where you protect your own. And it may have lit a fire under them. But also, I think that there have been some ballsy decisions by Sean McDermott, including letting Ken Dorsey go and bringing a different voice into the room. Because in the game against Miami, I thought that was one of the ballsiest games that Sean McDermott has ever had as a head coach.
I agree.
Now, when it comes to Cook, there was going to be a lot of shared touches in the backfield with Leonard Fournette brought up. You had four active running backs, and it seemed obvious that they wanted to get Fournette in the into the game.
Right.
So when it comes to the play calling, you had at the end of the toward the end of the game, the Bills had it at their own 37-yard line and went for it on fourth down. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is one of the ballsiest moves I've ever seen McDermott make, and I loved it. And then when they went for it again on fourth down, yeah, they got stopped short. I would have gone for it 9 out of 10 times. I would have done the exact same play call because it hadn't been stopped yet all season. So try it again.
Right.
I didn't mind that. And then with a rash of injuries, the defense started getting stops.
Yes.
The defense was stopping a great offense with a variety of good players off the field.
Rasul Douglas, our top corner, left the game, injured leg. I'm reading today, hopefully he'll be okay this week and be ready for Pittsburgh Sunday. That's a mm-hmm. blessing. But man, Christian Benford came up big last night, bro. Dane Jackson made a play or two. He had a couple rough plays. You know, uh-huh. not so much, but Christian Benford, man, he looks like a number one guy, man. The way he was looking, he looks like a number one guy.
Looking right? great out there. You had the loss of Dodson out
yep.
there.
Yeah. Which was big. That's big, man. Dodson been playing well along with Bernard. But what
Darrell
about
Dodson Baylor? Is the number three rated linebacker in the NFL according to Pro Football Focus.
And who would have thunk that?
I know. Still but, questionable because it's Pro Football Focus, because the eye test says Dodson isn't great in coverage, but still.
Right. Right. But, and that's fine. Everybody, you can skew numbers, but I'm going to tell you what, he ain't no scrub. I know no. that. He might not be as good as they say, but he ain't a scrub. And so then he goes out, goes to the locker room, and Baylen Spector comes in, and that dude balled. He had like four tackles, but man, he stepped up, man.
Yes. It was a very interesting move because typically in that situation, I'm blanking on his name. The other linebacker, the rookie, would typically come
Dorian
in.
Dorian Williams,
thank you. Yeah. So Dorian Williams apparently has been demoted, and Baylen Spector right. brought into the fold as the backup now. And by the way, right. he's the third stringer because that is Matt Milano's position.
Right. Yep.
Missing Milano, missing Trey White, without Rasul Douglas, who has been absolutely lights out, without yes. Terrell Dodson, they were coming up with defensive schemes that were confusing Tua Tagovailoa, forcing him into interceptions.
Right. And it took us a half to get a grip on what they were doing. They were doing a lot of misdirection. Mm-hmm. You know, they doing RPOs, which they really did. You could tell they just try to implement it because they had a lot of penalties with guys. They had a lot of penalties with guys being downfield. You yes. know, with the in the RPO game. So that helped us a little bit. And then also, what's the name, went out for a series? Deion Dawkins. And Ryan Van Denmark came in and played on a scoring drive that was probably one of the most important offensive drives of the game and played well. Deion Dawkins had a terrible cut on his head. He had to go in and get stitches. But he threw some dirt on it, got back in the game, and finished the game.
Yeah, so I'm loving what I saw from McDermott yesterday.
Yes.
He was ballsy. He called a great defense. And now I do want to call a spade here. The Miami Dolphins were missing all of their defensive ends, basically.
Right.
So, you know, it's worth noting that they were missing those guys, still getting a pass rush.
Yep.
And if there is a critique here, it looks like, it looks to me like Osiris Torrance is hitting the rookie wall.
Yeah.
They need him because he was their best offensive lineman all season. He looks like he's got all pro potential, but he has just had two rough games back to back. And granted, he's going against Christian Wilkins. The guy's right. No slouch.
Right. Wilkins is going to work most people. You know, so I'm not worried about that. You know, he's not going to see that every week, you know, so I'm cool with that. But I definitely do agree. They brought heavy pressure and coupled with the fact that Josh Allen really didn't know where to go with the ball. You know, I think, how many sacks did he take yesterday? I think he took two. I think he
took two. Is that it?
Did he take more than two? I might have to look it up.
The thing about Josh Allen is his stats don't really tell the whole story because he made some terrible decisions, even though he's 30 for 38 for 359 yards. Let's talk about the two interceptions.
Okay.
One of them off his back foot, throws it into the end zone as his receiver was cutting away from where he was throwing it. Probably don't want to do that. In a situation like that, if you don't have a receiver and the pressure's on you, send it out the back of the end zone, kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
The other was that fourth down play. The Bills set up, they had a great call. They had a man wide open in the left flat.
Yep.
Allen didn't throw it to him. Not only was he open, he had blockers in front. Right there. That is exactly the perfect call for that situation, and it's set up perfect for him. He didn't throw it. Instead, yeah. He starts scrambling to his right.
Right.
He could have run for that first down. He may not have gotten there. It would have been very close because he had defenders in front of him. But Josh right. Allen runs over people regularly. I think he could have gotten there. Instead, he floated it into the end zone to nobody. Now, I understand it's the equivalent of a punt, but he had two opportunities to get the first down and passed on them. He did not look good in the first half. His decision-making was questionable. And then the second half came around.
Right.
And he was a freaking wagon out there.
Exactly. And Chris Collinsworth, he was kept bucking it up last night. Oh, man, this is what makes him the best quarterback in the league. When he gets, he's improv and doing this. But when he's improv, like you said, like the one of the sacks where he took, the one where you talk about Christian Wilkins got him, right?
Yep.
Just stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. And some of that, and that's why I always question, do you know where the blitz is coming from? Because we can see it on TV.
Yes, that was exactly what I was wondering.
We can see it on TV. I'm like, why you can't see it? You're there. Hell, I'm in Virginia, you in Miami, and I see where the blitz is coming from. All right, so it's kind of like if you see where the blitz is coming from, then that's where you need to go with the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And so he did a bit of that second half, and then they kind of stopped blitzing him. But in the first half, when they went zero cover, they all out blitz, he didn't know where to go with the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's like he just ducks down, and then he'll start running, and he'll get his feet off, you know, unplanted. And you're right. On the play you're talking about, I forget, was that Shakir? Out in the flat, wide open. It's like, no, I couldn't deliver the ball. I'm going to start scrambling. But that's what scrambling quarterbacks do. Sometimes you just got to hunker down and stand in there, take the hit, and deliver the ball. Right?
Yes.
But he's so great in his scrambling ability and making stuff happen when he gets off the point, then sometimes it works against him. So, you know. But like I said earlier, I'll take, if you're going to give me 500 yards, I'll take that. You know, mm-hmm. You got to take the good with the bad. That's how I see it. I mean, I wish we could coach that out of him. And I feel like when Dable was here, he did. You know, mm-hmm. He coached that out of him. Like, it just looked smoother. And it looked more pretty. But I'll take it, man. I mean,
well,
11-6.
Also,
and in the second seed, I'll take it.
I also wonder, when the Bills were running the ball at the end of the game and not throwing, I'm wondering if Dable would have taken shots passing the ball, even though you run the risk of stopping the clock. I wonder if Dable would have thrown for a first down, done a play action, And I was hoping that they were going to do it.
But no, but you can't do that, Jamie D. Because I remember when we used to be in those situations, we're like, man, we got to be able to run the ball, run the clock out. And now that's what we're doing. So you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I understand what you're saying, but it's like, once again, you can't have it both ways.
Okay.
This is what we wish for. And I'm not picking on you. I'm saying for me too. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is maddening when he plays in the first half yesterday. It was maddening, right? But this is what we wish for.
Yes.
And then, like you said, the second half, he played amazing. You know?
He did.
So now we're in the playoffs. Now we're in the playoffs. We're going to get 4 weeks. Can he get us 4 wins against quality competition? Well, we proved it. We proved it the last month. We beat some damn good teams the last month. And should have beat the Eagles. Should have been. We
should
have. Eagles, the Eagles downfall, please believe. I know everybody knows some Eagles fans, right? I know y'all got some Eagles fans as friends. The Eagles, we killed them. That was their last good win against us. And we should have won that game. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but look at them now. We're on the rise, and they're on the down. Like, who the Eagles got? The Eagles got Tampa Bay, I think.
Yep.
I think they got to go to Tampa Bay. People are picking Tampa Bay in that game. Are you kidding me? Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield? I mean, the Eagles can't buy a win right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you want to be the hot team, and we're certainly hot. We beat good teams. Hopefully we can take away the dumb mistakes. Maybe hopefully we can clean it up. But man, please, man, just look at what McDermott's doing. Man, we're down to third string backers. We're down to Jackson third string corners, and we still making plays. He's the epitome, and I'm gonna keep saying it as long as Buffalo Running Leagues is sending me a check. I'm gonna keep saying it every week. That I got a microphone and headset on my. He is the epitome. The Buffalo Bills is the epitome of next man up. The epitome. You know what I'm saying? Davis got hurt. We didn't even talk about that. Davis got hurt.
Yeah, well, it's because nobody missed him.
Yeah, but I'm just, you're right. You're right. But I'm saying that allowed people like Trent Sherfield, right? It allowed for people like Hardy to get in. Right? Shakur, 6 catches, 105 yards. It allowed other people to step up.
Yes. Before we start talking about Pittsburgh, though, I want to ask you a general question going into the playoffs, though. Is this, as currently constituted with injuries and everything else, is this Buffalo Bills team a Super Bowl team?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes.
You know why?
Tell me why.
I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Because there is San Fran, that's fine. Baltimore, they're the ones that need to get a bye. You telling me you don't think Baltimore can lose? They got a great defense. Lamar's going to get MVP. We talked about this already. I know how you feel. All right, but what about San Fran? You don't think San Fran can lose? You telling me that quarterback who ain't never did it, ain't never been there, you going to bet on him? Purdy? Mr. Irrelevant? I'm not disrespecting them. They're good. But let me tell you something. This field is wide open. The 14 teams that's left, any one of the 14 teams can win this thing. I ain't going to say that. You know what I mean. Like, Houston, is Houston really going to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. Is Tampa
probably
Bay really going
to Tampa? Probably
Tampa Bay,
not.
Are they going to win? Steelers, we're going to bust their chops this Sunday. And I said it. We're going to bust their chops. Right? So, yeah. I mean, but it's wide open. It ain't like it's New England where, oh, man, you might as well give them the trophy now. It's six teams. I would not be I'm just throwing out numbers, but it's multiple teams I can see winning this thing. And it makes it feel like the NCAA tournament, and I love it. And we're one of them. So when you say, well, new, can we do it? Yep. But with I'm going to be honest with you. Let's keep it real, Bills Mafia. I can see us losing second round. I don't see us losing to Pittsburgh. If we lose to Pittsburgh, then you just might as well just, it'll take away all the good things that we did. Pittsburgh, if we lose to Mason Rudolph without TJ, do you know Pittsburgh is 1-10 without TJ Watt?
Wow.
They're 1-10. They lose every time. Now, knock on wood, hopefully this don't make it 2-10 or whatnot, but we're 10-point favorites, bro. We're 10-point favorites. That is unheard of in playoff football. That is unheard of in NFL. We're 10-point favorites. So if you can't find a way to beat Mason Rudolph and a TJ Wattless defense, then we're in trouble. So let's move on to the second round.
Well, before we get there, I want to read to you a couple of quotes that have come from general managers. Speaking about the Buffalo Bills, this was written by Mike Sando in The Athletic. And one of the GMs said, when you've had struggles during the year and overcome them the way they have, it really hardens you for the playoffs. Now that the Bills.
Okay.
Now that Buffalo can run it a little bit, it takes the stress off Josh Allen. If I have to make a pick right now, I'm picking Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. However, the other general manager that was interviewed said, that's true. Battle hardened, but they're making everything by the slimmest of margins. Pittsburgh could go in and beat them. I don't think he's correct on that. I don't think Pittsburgh can beat them, but I think that there is a point that the Bills are winning everything by slim margins.
But
which makes it more difficult on you.
This is the NFL, bro. Like, you think this ain't college football, college basketball, where Virginia Tech is going to play like Virginia State. No disrespect to Virginia State. But you know what I'm trying to say. It is like that's like Ohio State playing the school you went to. Like, this is the NFL. The fact that you win is enough. So that's what I look at. And maybe I'm looking at it through blue and red glasses, perhaps, right? But when you could go to Kansas City, beat the Chiefs, when you could beat the hell out of the Cowboys, who everybody love and think they're good, we beat the hell out of them, 31-10, right? Yep. We took care of business against the Chargers. We took care of business against the Patriots, and then we swept the Dolphins. We swept the Dolphins. See, people get short-term memory, and I don't get it. I know I drink a little bit, and maybe my brain cells are dying at a rapid rate because I'm 50 years old now. But I remember back in September, people was talking about the Dolphins, the best team in football, and we swept them. And we swept them. So that's what you always say, JBD. You learn what you say. You learn keep receipts, right? I'm keeping receipts. People were saying that. And you know me, Jamie. If we was looking like poo and we were struggling, we barely got in and this and that, I would say it. I would say, I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. And will we win the Super Bowl? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Anything can happen, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel, here's what I will tell you. I feel as good as anybody could possibly feel at this point. And I keep saying it. I said it last week, and I'm saying it this week. If I would have told you back in July that we were going to be 11-6, the number two seed, possibly hosting two playoff games, and if Baltimore gets upset, we could be hosting the AFC Championship, you would have took that every day and then twice on Sunday. We're right where we want to be. So let's not forget that. Now, you're right. Anything can happen. Could Pittsburgh beat us? Perhaps. But their resume,
could.
Anything could happen. I mean, I met Beyonce once. I could have married her, but she picked Jay-Z. I mean, I don't know. Anything could happen. You know what I'm saying? Anything could happen.
God, how I wish she didn't marry Jay-Z.
Yeah, I know, right? She picked Jay-Z, but I met her before. I could have married Beyonce. Come on. But look at their resume. If you look at their resume, we talked about our last 6 weeks. Let's look at their last 6 weeks. They lost to the Cardinals. They lost to the Patriots. They got stomped out by the Colts. Then they beat the Bengals without Joe Burrow. They went to Seattle, and they barely beat Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they beat the Ravens when they were sitting there, everybody. and they ain't got TJ Watt. So you can't, I mean, dude, I feel wonderful about this game. It's setting up wonderfully.
Yeah.
All we got to do is get it done. Get it done.
This is wonderful. Another one of those cases where the game is 100% about the Buffalo Bills and not about the opponent. That'll come in the next round.
Exactly.
In the next round, the Bills more likely than not are going to end up playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs absolutely can beat the Buffalo Bills. We've seen it happen. It happens in the playoffs seemingly every year.
What if Miami beat them? What if Miami goes to Arrowhead and beat them?
I don't think Miami's going to.
Well, let's just say I'm a curse now. Let's just say for shits and giggles.
Let's say that happens. Then the Bills are going to play the winner of the Browns-Texans game.
Two teams ain't never did it.
Right?
It sets up wonderfully.
It does. The only team that I'm worried about before the championship game is the Chiefs. Because the rest of the teams, again, it comes down to the Bills playing their game and playing it well. And that's the way this entire season has been. This Buffalo Bills team can beat anybody when they play well and they don't shoot themselves in the foot. Unfortunately, this has been a long season of the Bills dealing with self-inflicted wounds throughout games. They haven't been playing clean games all season.
If anything is going to hold them back,
that's going to be it, is getting out of their own way.
That's fair.
So the question just comes down to, can they play clean games now that they're in the playoffs? That's it.
Like I said, it might not be pretty, but we could get it done if Josh Allen gives me what he gave me last night.
Agreed.
That's what it comes down to. Josh Allen, you know, he is what he is at this point. So what I worry about is how the chips fall. Right? Now, if we wouldn't have won, all right, put it like this. If we wouldn't have won last night, we would have been a 6 seed, right?
Yes.
And that means we would have had to what? We would have had to
go to Miami.
Go back to Miami, because we wouldn't have stayed. Jalen was like, well, if we lose, we play Miami again, will they just stay down there? I'm like, hell no, you ain't going to just stay down there for a week, because you're going to be partying and chasing bottle girls and all that. No, sir. Take your butt back to Buffalo.
Chasing what girls?
Bottle girls.
Oh, bottle girls at the clubs. Got it.
Bottle girls at the club, right? No,
for those of you who don't know, bottle girls are the servers. When you get bottle service, they deliver your bottle of liquor, and they always look good.
Yeah. No, sir. Get off South Shore Drive, all that. We're not going to be down on South Beach.
Nope, you get them home sleeping in their own bed.
Yes. Go home to your wives and girlfriends. Quit trying to, chase girls down to South Beach.
Yeah, so speaking of South Beach, about Thursday, I turned to my wife and I said, do you want to go down to Miami this weekend, hit up the game? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, huh. She was in on it. And then Friday came around and I said, you know what? I haven't been feeling the best. Maybe we should just stay home. And then she tested positive for COVID on Saturday, and I tested positive yesterday. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's why you hacking like that. I said your COVID cough. I didn't know you had COVID. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have said that if I knew you had COVID. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
It's kind of like, it's like I always say, y'all, man, such and such rolling over in their grave. I never say that about people who's actually dead. I just, I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to do that. I don't want you to be sick.
That's the first one I haven't muted. No, it's quite all right. And in hindsight, obviously a good thing we didn't hop on a plane. But, man, I was ready for it. And that crowd. Man, I would have liked to have been a part of that crowd. And if the Bills had to go back to Miami, I think you would have seen 10,000 more Bills fans there.
Exactly. How's your wife feeling? Is she feeling okay? Is she asymptomatic or?
She sort of has like a sinus cold, and that's it.
Gotcha.
And I always get terrible cases of everything, and even this isn't so bad. So I get COVID every year in the second week of January. Every year. Mm. This is my fourth time in consecutive years.
Mm. Hey.
And you know why? It's because we do something for New Year's
Christmas. Or New
for
Year's
New Year's Day. Eve every year.
Mm.
So we're throwing parties, and I'm catching my COVID every.
And for your birthday, yeah, you got Christmas, your birthday, and New Year's, so you be out kicking it. And next thing you know, you turn up sick.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe next year I'll get a booster in like, I don't know, mid November, and maybe I'll be covered.
Please do, because I hate you feeling like that. Damn you! I just don't want your wife to be sick if she's hanging around you. She's slumming it with your butt. So.
Well, I know, but here's the thing: I have gotten like severe brain fog every time that I've had COVID. So you still have to podcast with me, and if I have the brain fog and I'm just babbling about nothing, well, then you got to deal with that. So you should look out for yourself too.
Yeah, I know that's right. I need you, brother. I need you. Man, I can do one better, man. You know, we were down in Florida last week. Yeah. And we left on Wednesday to come back here. I was actually down there, and I wanted to stay, but my family outvoted me. They all were ready to come home. So I had to watch the game here while I was in Florida. So, I mean, in Miami.
You were the man of the family. Are you not supposed to be the head of the household?
Hey, man. The decision maker? That's fine. You can say, you don't wear the pants in your family, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. Nothing's more true than happy wife, happy life.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, hey, I give her what she wants, and then perhaps maybe she gives me what I want. So I was cool. So needless to say, I was cool with watching the game in the Boom Boom Room yesterday. I was cool with it, you know. So, yeah. And plus the ticket price was so outrageous. Do you think – I was going to ask you this. I know we got to wrap this up, but I was going to ask you. Do you think it would be wrong if I started a GoFundMe for Bills tickets?
Yes.
Have you
yes,
seen?
I think it would be.
Dude, I'm looking at the tickets for Pittsburgh on Sunday, and to get in the building is like $340. Yeah. So it's going to be crappy weather. I'm going to be sitting at the top in the corner. I got to drive 10 hours from Richmond, Virginia, and get expensive hotel rooms and spend all that money, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I would love to take Jalen, but I got to sell a lung. I got to do a sperm donation or something. I don't know. I hate to be raunchy. I'm sorry. I'm just so happy, y'all. I hate to be raunchy. I'm sorry.
Maybe you could just sell plasma.
plasma. I need to sell something. Take my organs now. You know, I'm an old organ donor. I'm like, man, just take my organs now. I want to go to the Bills game.
So one time, junior year of college, me and one of my roommates went down to the Plasma Alliance in North Dayton, Ohio, sort of near the airport. Near the airport tells you a lot. And, we got in there and we were not prepared for what we were going to be walking into at that point. We didn't know the walks of life that we were going to be joining at the Plasma Alliance when we were 20, 21 years old.
And it was
wow,
by the airport.
Was that a scene, man?
And it was by the airport.
Yep.
Why? It was some sketchy people there. That's what you're saying?
Sketchy people. The building was filthy. I'm like, oh my God, how can you possibly like be drawing people's blood in a place this dirty? Oh my God. The people, I mean, strung out as hell.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Wait a minute! You can't be doing drugs and then selling your plasma." Well, they walk in there and they lie. No, I don't. And then yeah. You know they're their blood tests that it's tainted or whatever with drugs or what have you. And
it was crackheads in there.
It was crackhead central, yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, we like look at each other, we're like, oh dear.
oh my.
Oh, we're here now.
So did you do it?
I ended up not. They wouldn't take it because of medication that I was on.
Oh, I got you.
Of course, I told the truth. And like, sorry, we can't take it.
So everybody else is lying. And
everybody else is lying.
Bad plasma.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
I'll be remiss if I did not bring up Deontay Hardy's punt return.
Absolutely. A guy who most fans seem to be ready to usher right out of Buffalo.
And I was one of them.
Me
you
too.
Know, Nicole texted me this morning. Nicole, our friend Nicole, we watched the games with. And she listens to us every, you know, Wednesday on her way home from work. Yeah, we talk about Nicole before. She works at, what's the name of the university?
Gallaudet.
Gallaudet is the school for the deaf, right?
Yes.
Yes. So she works there. They got wonderful commercials right now. Like she that's the school she works at. And so she watches the games with us. She's from Buffalo, whatnot. And so she was like, are you good with Deontay Hardy now? Because, you know, you had some words for him last month. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'd be the first person to admit it, even though I still say he ain't been doing nothing until last night. But
agreed.
I will say it don't change the fact. I mean, I wasn't wrong. He wasn't doing nothing. But right. I will say us bringing him on, if he made that play in that part of a game when the season was on the line, it was worth him not doing nothing all year. So kudos to him, man. I'll give you a shout out, Nicole, man. Big ups.
Yep. So. And great return. It's exactly what they needed. And you know what? That might be the spark. That might be the singular spark that they need to go deep into the playoffs too.
And that's the good. I'm going to give you a bad thing. Tell me this. Why was Von Miller on the field?
That's a great question.
Why was Von Miller on the field, bro?
Why was he on the field? Why was Leonard Fournette active? Why was Baylen Spector on the field? Were the Bills going into this basically stating, we know we're in the playoffs, so we're going to try to win the game, but we are going to bring in some of our scrubs?
Oh, maybe. That could be it. But Von Miller wasn't active last week, so did he go in the office and pitch a fit or something? And he got
on his podcast, he said it was the right choice holding him
right. Right. But that's what I'm saying. He said that in the public, but why would you have him inactive last week and active this week? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, I think he's smart enough. He makes too much money to say the wrong things.
Right.
But he can say that on his pod and then, you know, go in there and raise a ruckus and now you're active. See, I see that all the time.
Of course.
When coaches, like in high school and stuff, Little League, you see a kid who don't never get to play, he ain't that good, all of a sudden he's playing. They're like, okay, I bet 9 times out of 10 it was a parent. He start going up against the coach and like, oh, well, you don't play my son? Okay, I'm going to play your son this week. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Because he's not making plays, dude. Like, don't. Hopefully that was the last of it. Like, I don't need to see him. He's a shell of himself right now. And I'm not saying that he can't get back there. I pray that he does. But right now, he's giving another. He's just running himself out of plays. He's not setting the edge. He's not keeping contained. He's just running. His pass rush is just running straight up field. You know,
right, and he's getting washed out with one hand,
right? You know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate. I don't want to sound heartless. It's unfortunate what this guy has endured, and I pray that he turns it around. But once again, man, I will throw my mama under the bus to win a Super Bowl. So you know, I don't care about Von Miller's feelings, right? I respect him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we need all hands on deck and everybody pulling in one direction. And right now, he's not good enough. So give the other guys those reps.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm 100% with you on that.
You know, and we got good guys. I mean, we got Floyd, man, and Rousseau Groot. He got a sack yesterday, I believe. And then AJ Epenesa's coming off injury. And heck, did Kingsley Jonathan play last night?
I don't think so.
I don't think he played. I mean, he showed signs throughout the year.
And so, I think he's the player who needs to be on the field.
Yeah. Don't do this crap. Oh, because he's making so much money. I need to see him on the field to justify. No, man. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. We ain't got time for that. That's over.
My two cents. I couldn't agree with you more.
So.
And, yeah, I know. Some feelings get hurt along the way. But yeah. This is what it comes down to. It's about winning at this point. At least you better tell your fans it is.
Yep. Are you going to watch the national championship tonight? Michigan versus Washington.
Yep, going to watch it.
Good. We got some friends coming over. We're going to, you know. I'm going to run to the liquor store, get a bottle of Hennessy, and my wife will cook, and we'll watch the game.
It's going to be a great game. I'm doing some Dry January this time around.
Oh.
And also, I'm sick, so.
Oh. Well, okay. Well, I guess you're not invited then.
No.
I think it's...
I was going to be invited anyway.
I would have invited you. I know you ain't going to come. You ain't going to drive 2 hours to watch a game. Not like
how
I do.
How did you know that?
I do, though. Every time I see you, I drive 2 hours. See, I tell
that's
you,
true.
Man, you don't love me like I love you, bro. That's a shame.
Oh, no, that's definitely true. I learned long ago to never love anyone as much as they love me.
But, yeah, I think it was great semifinals last week. And Michigan, Washington, I think it's going to be a good one. So, it'll be fun.
Well, buddy, it's going to happen. Next week, Bills are going to get their first playoff win, their first step toward a late postseason run.
Let's hope so, man. Bills Mafia stand up. Way to represent down on South Beach. Hey, let's go Buffalo.